Hello and welcome, listeners, to Radio Bra. This is me, Gabriel Shadar, and today we are having a group discussion, and we have guests in the studio, and the discussion today is on issues related to revenues and revenue collection, allocation, and also capacity building. And recently there was a training that has taken place in Juba for the leadership of Revenue Authority from different parts of the country, but mainly we'll focus on representatives from Jubek and also from Kudwe State. And so we will be looking at the training of Revenue Authority leadership and see opportunities and challenges that are related. And this is all in the issues in the focus of raising transformational leaders for transparent and accountable revenue diversification in South Sudan. The title might be long, but we will try to simplify what does all that mean. And so I have with me in the studio my guests. Let us start clockwise so that you introduce yourselves so that the listeners are familiar with your voices. Yes.
Yeah, I'm Olympio Atipo, UNDP Technical Specialist.
Welcome, Olympio.
Thank you.
Yes.
My name is Isaac Aziz Justin Bazuba. I am from Kudwe State, a member of the board.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
I am Elizabeth Peter Lugar from Jubek State, member as a board of directors for the Revenue Authority.
Welcome.
I'm Jamal Wani, from Juba, a member of Revenue of Juba State.
Welcome all of you to this program on Radio Mira. Let me start with Olympio, because UNDP is supporting this training and this capacity building side of Revenue Authority. Perhaps you give us a very brief introduction to it.
Yeah, thank you very much. This training basically is for the board members of the Revenue Authority from three states. That's Kudwe, Jubek, and Awil State. For about the past 4 years, UNDP, through Government of Japan, have been supporting these three states to modify the revenue collection, especially the non-oil revenue. So key issues that need to be addressed is to support them to establish a functioning system which can generate the revenue in a very transparent and accountable manner. So the issues that we have been addressing are both institutional capacity and then human resource capacity. So far, we have supported the three states to develop and pass into law Harmonious State Revenue Authority Act, which is currently in. As a part of the law, the state is supposed to constitute a board, governing board for the state revenue authority. So the three states have also satisfied that part of the law by constituting the governing board of the state revenue authority. So before the board can effectively function, it's only proper that we support them, enhance their capacity on issues of non-revenue generation at the state level, the challenges that they are going to be facing and the current challenges, the jurisdictional issues about the three levels of government, and the collaborative issue. So for the past 10 days, we have been training them at the University of Juba School of Public Service, and then the training is expected to be closed tomorrow by His Excellency, the Vice President James Wanninga. So far, that is what we have been doing for the past 3 years.
Very interesting and very clear introductions there from Mr. Olympio from UNDP. And so the rest of the panel in here in the studio and the members in this discussion, we will go around with these areas we want to focus on and cover this. First, I will go back again to Olympio, and South Sudan is both new and old, and is old in terms it has been inside the old Sudan, and many of us have been there, we have worked there, we have gained experience there, and physical and financial issues are not an exemption here, so we had a lot there. But in other way, we are new in the way that we have new institutions here in the new country and all that kind of things. So what are we trying to tackle here?
Thank you very much. The issue we are trying to tackle is how the government can provide adequate services to the people. But for the government to be able to do this, the government needs resources. Over the years, the country has been relying on oil revenue. As a matter of fact, just after independence, it was estimated that the total government budget is about 98% of oil revenue. That shows that the non-oil revenue was just about 2%. But you can see things begin to change since 2012 after the closure of the pipeline and the introduction of austerity measure. Just after that, then the global oil fluctuation or volatility just set in. As a result of that, the oil price continued to fall. And that has affected the government budget in general. The oil revenue received over 50% down. As a result of that, the government is now challenged to make adequate resources to the state or for development program. Therefore, the only alternative is to diversify. Mm-hmm. By diversifying, the government need to move into non-oil revenue generation. And to do that, you need a system to be able to generate the revenue. Even the current system need to be restructured in terms of institutions and the human resource capacity to be able to generate this revenue. So the basic idea is that there is a distortion in the government budget as a result of low oil revenue receipt. Therefore, the only way the government will be able to provide funding for development funding at the subnational level is to diversify the revenue base. It is also important for us to recognize that service delivery responsibility in this country constitutionally lies under the subnational level. It is the responsibility of the state and then the county to deliver services to the people, and then the national government provide them resources through transfer and grant and others. But if the resources at the national levels are not adequate, the government will not be able to provide resources to the sub-national level to deliver. Yeah. So the key issue here is that the constitution has reserved certain revenue sources for the state government to collect. And then the national government will supplement whatever they have from the national level through the budgetary allocation. Mm-hmm. So that is why we are supporting the state to build a system that can collect this resource in an efficient and accountable manner. So in their normal budgeting process, they can also allocate this local revenue in addition to whatever they are going to receive from the national government to be able to provide services to the people.
Very, very good, Olympia, for that very, very clear explanation of the challenges we are seeing in South Sudan. Let me go to Mr. Jamal Abdullah. We understand you were the deputy governor of the Bank of South Sudan for quite a long time, and you are familiar in that capacity of the issues we are speaking about, and also you will be able to enlighten the listeners on what we are seeing here. When we come and speak about the fiscal challenges and how it is related, these are related to the issue of revenue generation at the local levels. What do we mean?
Thank you very much. This is actually really a wide subject. To start with, when actually I was really in the bank, that was the time in 2012 when we started getting the problems that the oil, the northern government in Sudan, they shut down the oil, and then unfortunately also, when they shut down the oil, the prices that we got later really plummeted in the market. As such, the projections of the government, the national government, that they were really wanted to do, were not fulfilled. Of course, we didn't have any other exports that we could really export and at least to fill the gaps. Unfortunately, we had only that mono product, which was the oil. And since then, of course, we had really the problems, not only the shutting down of the oil by the Sudan government, we also had later on when they came back and negotiated that they have requested now to open the pipeline to Port Sudan. We also had problems because the transiting of the oil, for example, the charges that they charge for one barrel of oil, they were too high. Not only that, they were not the only players. We had the Chinese, we had the Malaysians, we had the Indians, so who were also looking into that resource envelope for the oil. And at the end, we found that we were really not going very far because what actually had been left was not really enough for the government to dish out, for example, not for the major projects of the government, national government, mm-hmm. not even for the states, because they were not enough. And unfortunately, we are supposed to be an agricultural country. We are supposed to have the cash crops that at least could be sold and bring also some money. But that sector was not properly developed. So here we are, that with time, as we grow, we also our problems are also growing. And we, as Mr. Olympio has really put it, through the help of the government of Japan and also the UNDP, that at least are now training us, we thought, or they thought, that the best way also for the states to be able really to raise the revenue, and that revenue definitely when they are raised, that's also a good thing for the states, and when the national government really come in with some subsidies, those subsidies will be able to at least supplement what the states would be doing. Mm-hmm. But in this case, of course, for the states to be able to raise the proper money, as the training goes on, they are really training us on better modern methods of collecting the money. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why at least the training is going on for the members of the board of governors of the three states. Of course, it won't only end up with the three states.
Yeah.
It will also
cover the rest.
Mm-hmm. Because when the rest are covered, definitely, indirectly or directly, they will be also helping the national government to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some, most of our projects are there,
yeah.
and they're really competing.
Yeah.
We have to make sure which one do we have to go them first. But to be able to do those, we need money
mm-hmm.
to at least to do them.
Yeah. Mr. Jamal, thanks for that explanation. And when we come actually to the issue of revenue diversification, that means implies collecting money from citizens or from businesses from different sector of the society, if I can say broadly. And Elizabeth Pitia Lugar, Deputy Commissioner for the General Jubek Investment Authority, Member of Board from Jubek State, what are we speaking about when we speak about collecting revenue? Because it looks like we want people think that the government is taking money, yes, but what is the government going to do? And this is something they don't feel that this money is going to come back in one way or another. So how does it work, the collection and the services?
Thank you very much for the question. It's not only a question that is asked by yourself. It's been asked by a few people, quite a lot actually in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because in any country, really, what people expect is that when they pay their taxes, to some extent they see that the taxes go towards something mm-hmm. beneficial to them. And it boils down to the issue of service delivery. I will not say that it has been perfect, and I think that the best way forward is actually to admit what has been happening. It's been there, maybe not completely adequate, but it's been there.
Mm-hmm.
The inadequacy of it has been for several reasons. You know, could have been for the scarcity of resources, our prolonged conflict in the country. Perhaps the drop of the oil prices, many reasons. But it is a give and take relationship that the government can have. And for the case of South Sudan, I'm really hopeful that the governments, both national and state governments, will have with its people, which is that of the citizens paying their taxes, and in return, the government gives them the services needed. When people stay in a big city like Juba and it takes months, if ever, for the garbage to be collected, people start questioning, you know, why then come to my shop if I have to pay taxes and yet I do not feel that I'm being serviced in a way by my government. And so this particular training that has been funded by Japan has been, you know, handled by UNDP and well handled, I might add, is really to make sure that both sides of the coin are satisfied. We want such that people feel responsible for paying their taxes, because they do see the service that their country provides for them. And I think that can be done through, first of all, educating the people, the tax collectors themselves. And I believe this training does a very big part of that, because the board will then go further and, you know, assist the management of Revenue Authority, you know, with their policies, especially their tax policy reform. It will go further and help them develop their strategies. And the revenue authorities of each of these states will take it a step further as well in educating, you know, their own citizens, not just verbally, but by their own actions. You know, what they do will translate into their own citizens wanting to participate in this process that enables them to live a comfortable, responsible, and stay relevant, really, to their own people.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Let me go to Isaac Aziz Bazugba, a member of from Goodway State, one of the states that have been also receiving training here. I understand a week ago or something, some time back, there was a launching of the State Revenue Authority in Goodway State, and with very ambitious plans and also measures that will be put in place so that this very rich area is going to make money from the local local people there. And so from this training, focusing on this training, tell us, what have you gained as a way that will really promise you that you are going to do something good?
Thank you very much for this question. It is a very good question. Indeed, what you're saying, there was a launch of this State Revenue Authority, and I was there, part of that. That's the time we went to be sworn in, to take oath that we are going to do the right job in the state. So I was there with other colleagues whom I'm representing here. We have many things if we have to come. In this training particularly, is trying to build our capacity. For example, it is diverse. We have come there with diverse, it is, let me say, discipline. It's not only the people who know money only are there. Some of us are agriculturists, some are administrators. So all these type of people, the categories of people are there. So we are being brought together so that we understand in totality what we are supposed to do, at least so that when we get to our states, we should know what we are going to do. This is what the training is doing for us, opening our eyes and showing us, if we are in the states, what we can do, what can be taxed, which is not being taxed. Like it was mentioned about the jurisdictions and all this, so that we know also, because there are so many people collecting taxes already in the state. And in our state, in Goodway State, it's having so many things which we can get money from, which we are not even getting money at the moment. You have good forest products there, whether the forest product or the timber itself, it is there. We do not know how these things are coming out, although it is there being collected in some way. So what I see in those things and others which I've not mentioned, which are not taxed, people do not know about them. This training is telling us all the categories that we can do, including even the personal income tax, all those things that have been covered in this training. And one thing which has been stressed also in the training is, it is not just to go and collect taxes. We have to enlighten the people, first of all. We have to make it so that they understand that, is it important to collect this money? Why should we collect it? And when we collect it, how are we going to plow it back into the lives of the people who are paying this? This is very, very important. So those are the things which are trying to draw our attention, which were there, but we didn't see them.
So I'll be calling you again and again to explain this, why a citizen should pay money to the government or pay taxes. As the saying goes, if there is no taxation, there is no democracy. And so, Olympia, Are you trying in South Sudan to reinvent the wheel, or you are just bringing blueprints and apply them here, or you are making these people crack their minds and become innovative?
Thank you very much. We are actually not copy and pasting.
Yeah.
We are domesticating whatever we have here. As a matter of fact, this state revenue authority concept, I think it is the first thing in the whole of Africa where you have state government having their own revenue authority to mobilize resources. So we are supporting them to build an institution which suits South Sudan context. We are not borrowing anything from, because it is very important that the dynamics changes everywhere, and the context of South Sudan,
you have to adapt
and make
that,
sure
that brings me the question to the people from Juba here. I see Juba is growing, rapidly growing. This is not the Juba of 2005. And were it not for the conflict, Juba would have been very, very vast now. But I see Juba is missing a lot of opportunities of getting money. It should be the richest, and it should be providing a lot of services. And that is because money is not really taken from people. No taxation, appropriate taxation might not be taken from people, and that means or there are some other things, challenges that are facing, because you have the state here and you have the capital here, and you have the national capital and you have the state capital here, and you have all the levels of government. It is a microcosm of the challenges. So Jubek State, what are you telling us about these challenges? Let me start with Mr. Abdullah.
Thank you. As you put it, Juba, of course, is the capital, and the state also is having the capital here. Simultaneously, these two institutions, as they are, one is the national, one is the state. Paying taxes is really should be a pleasure for all the nationals, really, to do that. Because when they pay, at the end of it all, they see the value for their money. Paying it, people really should be paying without complaining. Given our neighbors, for example, taking our neighbors, Uganda and Kenya, whether they are paying the personal income tax, or they pay from other businesses, everybody is willing to subscribe. Everybody is willing to pay, because they know at the end of it all, the government will give them the services, be it the hospitals, schools, roads, and other infrastructures that can currently come up. So definitely, Juba, of course, is a cosmopolitan city. It takes everybody. Everybody comes here, and everybody do their businesses here, including people who come from outside, some investors. They are here. Before some of them even branch out, they start from here, and they have their head offices here, and they'll also have their head offices outside there. Taxes, that is really the source of any country to develop, whether it is a developing country or whether it is already developed, even like in U.S., it is a must. And definitely, people who are not paying taxes, it is actually a crime. It is actually a crime, because somebody is doing disservice to the state. We should be able to support the government, because other people are complaining that, oh, the government has not done this for us. The government has not done that for us. Who is the government? They, people who are taking, they are part of the government. So they should really also remember their duties and do the right thing.
And so for you, Elizabeth, where did we get lost in the process of collection?
Thanks, Gabriel. It's your word. We got lost somewhere. Juba has advantages and disadvantages because the capital is here. Because it's here, it allows for, you know, the people from here, the children to access schools, for the local government to have access to the national government and to everybody else that resides here. It also is proud to be able to call people who live in the capital as citizens of the state. Being the capital comes, however, with a lot of responsibilities. And in the case of Juba, I think it's even triple or more, because first of all, it's a new country. It's a post-war economy. And then most importantly,
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Yes, you can go ahead. Yes.
Thanks. Thanks, Gabriel. So the issues with Juba being the capital is a bit interesting, because the law is quite clear. It stipulates the responsibilities of the state government, of the national government. I do not say it in lightly when I say that, you know, each with its responsibilities have to be held accountable for what they do and what they fail to do. And so the issues, for instance, where a state government can claim encroachment by the national government can only be addressed if and only if both parties really do have the political will to benefit the people of South Sudan. And if they do, then they're able to sit you know, down on the table and agree amicably as to what is best for the people of South Sudan residing in Juba. Yes, they're citizens of South Sudan, but they're also citizens of Juba. Exactly.
And that brings me the question now. Do you have the tools, do we have the right tools that are universally applied and also adapted to the local situation or domesticated in that terms, so that the jurisdictions are really clear, so that there will not be clashes between the senior and the junior officials who are engaged in the revenue collections?
Let me try to answer that by saying, you know, did we have the tools when we voted for independence?
I don't think. I think we scrapped all things that was in Khartoum and whatever, and we started with our own. This is what we know. This is common knowledge. And so now we are getting to the board again, and UNDP is helping in that with the partners. So, but still, do we have them?
It's a good question. I like the fact that what UNDP is trying to do is really domesticate the revenue authorities, not only for South Sudan, but for each individual state. Having said that, I think that unless we are trying to be somebody else, then we do not have the tools. But I think that there are very, very smart brains in South Sudan to see to it that whatever it is we set our minds to, we can do it. And it is a question of will, really. If we set our minds to serve, I believe we do have the tools. Be them, you know, manual or automatic, or what do they call it?
Digitalized or modernized.
We do have the capacity. And with, you know, I don't want to call it assistance, but with coordination with organizations like UNDP, we can improve on that capacity that we already have. And so if we cannot do it digitally, we can do it on paper. Which it just needs to get done.
That brings me to the question. Maybe this is for Olympia or for the other three guests in the studio. What needs to be done now, from now on? What needs to be done, actually, so that we have really a good revenue collection? You spoke about telling the people that you should do this, enlightening the people and all that. And is there are there issues related to legislation? Are there issues related to administrative changes? Are there issues related to capacity building is still at the at those levels there, so that we have a smooth and because people also speak about accountability and allocation of resource, all that kind of things, but it very quick responses from the three of you. Let me start with Jamal Abdallah.
Yes, thank you so much. That's a very good question. Of course, when it comes really to collecting the taxes, all of us are guided by the law. The law is ahead of us. Whatever we do or whatever we ask from the people, not of course that we are going to ask them in a harsh way, We'll ask them in a very, very kind way. Mm. And to prepare, of course, all these people to pay the taxes properly, people are not the same. Some of them have got small businesses, some have got medium businesses, some have got...
And that means you will need accurate data.
Exactly. Yeah. That means the tax collectors will go out and then do the assessment. Mm-hmm. Because when people are really taxed, they are taxed at least appropriately, and they are really willing to pay the money. They are not going to complain, saying that, okay, my business is so small, why am I paying the taxes like somebody who has got big businesses? Mm. That will not apply. Because here, we shall be really approaching them. Mm-hmm. And of course, not only we are not going to sympathize with them, but there will be only what they call the empathy also, really. That means we really approach them in such a kind manner and try to explain to them that when you pay your taxes, you will get return for your taxes in different forms. Mm. Definitely, the central government, when the real central government comes in, for example, to the states, it is only to come with some subsidies to assist what the states have really done. It's really to assist. Because we know, like, for example, the national government, they have got major things that they really can collect. For example, taxes from the oil, taxes from the customs. Those are, at least, I think, the prerogatives of
national
government. Mm. And then even when we collect according to the states, when we have got the system in place and the law is guiding us, of course, that money is to be got and really put in a block account. And definitely, as I said before, our projects are competing against each other, mm-hmm. because we are still a developing nation. Yeah. We have got so much to do.
Yeah, we need to prioritize a lot.
Exactly.
For Goodway, Isaac, what are you saying?
Yeah. Yes, I quite. Thank you. I quite agree with the previous speakers. We have some things that we are going to do. This is the initial training, putting us online. Now, when we get back to our states, we are going to look at our policies, look what can guide us to do things correctly. Mm-hmm. So all those are things which are still ahead to come. Mm-hmm. And even there will be some still capacity will be there for the tools that we are going to use, whether it is going to be automated or it is going to be the manual ones. Mm-hmm. There's still some training to be done,
yeah.
to our people at the state, and even putting the offices, the structure in the office,
yeah.
the commission for the... State Revenue Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Olympia, this is a question for you there, because once I attended a briefing from a professor who came from Harvard University, and he made a presentation and said South Sudan has a very good account, but he's still looking for accounting. So, what are you telling us?
Thank you, Gabriel. Having a good account is still looking for accounting. It means that you need to operationalize your account. So you have an account, you are not operationalizing. That is the challenge.
Yeah.
The question of we have legislation. South Sudan has legislation. There is no confusion about that.
Yeah.
If you look at the National Transitional Constitution, the jurisdiction issues are very clear as to who collect what, and then what is reserved for the state, and then we have the Taxation Act 2009, and there are some few regulations. Yes, this legislation may not be adequate, which actually need reform and review for them to bring them up, because international taxation and tax has become very complex. White tax avoidance mechanisms are becoming very challenging.
Yeah.
So you need a very robust laws and legislation to be able to guide against. And this is part of the UNDP objective for the government, to support them come up with appropriate law, to review the laws and make sure that we support them to build good IT infrastructure system, the tax infrastructure system, to be able to collect. Because one of the key areas we'll be looking at in the legislative reform is how to build a very good database.
Yeah.
Because to be able to collect that, you need data. You need data of the available tax payer in your jurisdiction so that you can assess them properly. That's brought the issue about accountability. Mm-hmm. The issue of accountability is key to having a good data. Because if you have a good database, you will know how many taxpayers you have registered, and you also know how much each taxpayer is paying. So obviously, you can extract from the database the total revenue or the taxes you'll be generating per quarter of it. So with this report, people can, especially Parliament is part of this, the State Parliament is part of this training program. We are also supporting the Parliament to hold the government accountable and then to monitor the budget. So here, if we support the state to build a database and collect this money, Parliament will have accurate information to be able to hold the executive responsible when it comes to issues of allocating the resources in the budget, and also when it comes to the issues of budget execution. That is the key area to UNDP is supporting, making sure that the Parliament holds the executive responsible for budget execution. So yes, we have legislation. Some are very weak, and this is our responsibility to make sure we support the government to enhance the legislation to make sure they are more robust.
Yeah, very interesting. And listeners, Radio Mirror, this is Mege Reshadar, and I have with me in the studio Olympia Tiepo, UNDP, Elizabeth Pitia Lugar, Deputy Commissioner for General Jubek Investment Authority, Jamal Abdallah Wani, Board Member of Jubek State Revenue Authority. He's also former Deputy of the Deputy Governor of the Bank of South Sudan, and Isaac Aziz Bazugba, Member of Board from Goodway State Revenue Authority. And we have been discussing the issues related to revenue collection, opportunities and challenges because a training has been taking place in Juba here for the states of Jubek, Goodway and Awil. Now we are coming to the concluding remarks from the guests who are with me in the studio, and the issues of jurisdiction, the issues of having accountability and all that. We have covered this, and of course we come to the issue of the political will, because this is very crucial at all levels. It seems that it is not a problem of capacity, it's not a problem of knowledge, but it's also an issue of a political will to impose and to discipline and hold people accountable. Like when you are training the legislators, the lawmakers, that is part of the process. And so what is really the best opportunity for us, so that, because I see the states are unable to generate revenues, every state is depending on the central government, everything to the level of salaries, small services and all that kind of things. So what are your hopes? Let me start with Jamal.
Our hopes are really very high, given this type of training. Our hopes are really very high, because why I say it's very high, because number one, we are going to be guided by the law. Number two, UNDP is ready to provide us the system, and it's through the system that can really all whatever the documents or the data can be kept there, mm-hmm. and at least it will be like a kind of a benchmark that every year, or say, as Olympia puts it, every quarter of the year, we should be able to refer back and say how far we have really gone. Mm-hmm. Are we improving on that, or we are stagnant, or we are moving, or we have not done anything at all?
Yeah.
And I think these two things will be the key. One, we are guided by the law. Secondly, we have got the system in place. I know it will be very difficult maybe for the first year, and the second year it will be a little bit different, because also here we need really to educate the people, and they have to understand that it is a duty of any national really to pay the taxes, because no any single country can really move forward without the taxes.
Exactly.
People shouldn't be looking at the government and complaining that the government is not doing this for us and the government is doing it for us. It is a voluntary work that any citizen should really feel concerned and do the right thing for the country.
Thanks, Mr. Jamal. Elizabeth, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Gabriel. Political will, it's very, very important. And I think that there's already a show of hands for those who are willing. We have, as part of the personalities training us in the name of His Excellency the Vice President. Mm-hmm. I think that not only that, the School of Public Service, starting from its highest level, the Vice Chancellor was there in the opening. The Dean of the school is there. If you had talked about tax reform policies, taxation, revenue, just a few years ago, it would not have been an open conversation.
Yeah.
And we are having it today. Mm-hmm. The will is there.
Okay.
Based on the composition of the board, the variety of it, and the need, really, to be able to have some form of income for all the states of South Sudan.
Yeah.
I believe the will is there from the grassroots. I encourage the will to be there from way up top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For a quick question for Goodway. So we are going to see very regulated checkpoints, very regulated revenue collection in your state in the next 2 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say yes. Uh-huh. Because the political will is you're talking about mm-hmm. is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the governor himself has been behind this and he has been following it up, and he's the one who have constituted even the board.
Yeah.
And during the launching which we were talking about, he was there, he talked very strongly of what he would like to see, the services being provided to the people.
Yeah.
So at all, we say where money was being lost, at least during this time,
yeah.
with all those holes where.
Yeah,
if not all, some of them.
Thank you.
Most of them.
80% will be a very good result. Olympio, you have 30 seconds to conclude.
It is important that we appreciate what the three governors of the three states have done, because they've demonstrated political will. That is why we are here today. And for the first time in the history of South Sudan, you have His Excellency the Vice President in the classroom teaching, talking about tax policy reform. That tells you that there is a different level of thinking at the higher government level, and the political will they are demonstrating now shows that South Sudan will go forward in the tax policy reform and revenue modernization.
And we hope we go through this journey with you, and if you want to educate the listeners and the people, you're welcome. Our studios are open.
Thank you
very much, Olympio Atipio, the UNDP representative here in this discussion. Elizabeth Peter Luger, Deputy Commissioner of General Jubek Investment Authority, and Jamal Abdullah Wani, Board Member of Jubek State Revenue Authority, Isaac Aziz Bazugba, Board Member from Goodway State. Thank you very much for being on a nationwide program. See you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gabriel.
All the best.
Thank you.